Text for our sermon this Christmas morning, our gospel reading from John 1, especially these words. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So far our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we have seen his glory, John says. What does that mean? It's Christmas morning, and we've got this reading as our gospel reading. Does this mean that John was there on Christmas and saw the birth of Jesus? No. John was a young man during Jesus' ministry. John wasn't even born that first Christmas, and he wasn't there in Bethlehem at the manger scene. He's not talking about the birth of Jesus. It kind of takes away maybe a little bit of the Christmas luster of this text. But for John, this is an important verse. This idea of the glory of God, and even more, to be able to see the glory of God. What is that? What does that look like, to behold God's glory? Well, John was a disciple. He hung out with Jesus for those 3 years, and he saw all the miracles that Jesus did. John in his gospel records 7 miracles. Maybe these things are the glory of God. And Jesus turns water to wine, or walks on water, or feeds thousands, or heals the blind man, or raises Lazarus. John spends plenty of time in his gospel talking about those miracles. Is that the glory of God that John beheld? Well, I don't think so. John saw Jesus' great compassion on sinners, how much Jesus loved each and every sinner, how Jesus always had time for the sinners who were clamoring to him. So often in John's gospel, Jesus will be teaching and healing all day long. Is that the glory of God? Jesus' great love and compassion for sinners? Not quite. Maybe that glory of God is found there on that great mountaintop experience. When Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on that high mountain, and Jesus is transfigured, he's shining brilliantly. The Father's voice is booming, and the cloud envelops them. And there's Moses and Elijah before them speaking with Jesus. What a mountaintop experience. Is that the glory of God that John's talking about? No. Not quite. All of that points to the glory of God that John speaks about in his prologue. John, in his entire gospel, is pointing us to one place, one time, one moment in particular that he finds therein the true glory of God. What moment could that be? Friday, the skies darkened, and there is those 3 men hung up on crosses. There's Jesus in the middle. He's crying out. John's there at the foot of the cross. Behold your mother. Behold your son. John sees it as he's looking up at Jesus. There it is. There's the glory of God. That's what John writes about. That moment. It's one moment in particular in his gospel. It comes right as Jesus dies. And the Jews are looking to get these guys off of the crosses quickly, because the next day is their high Sabbath day. Is Jesus dead? We're not sure. The soldier pierces Jesus' side with that spear. There. There is the glory of God. As Jesus' side is pierced, blood and water flow forth. There it is. Right there. It's Jesus talking to Nicodemus in John 3 about being born again and how you must be born again. It's Jesus talking to that woman at the well in John chapter 4 about that spring of water welling up to everlasting life. That if you only drink of that, you will never be thirsty ever again. It's Jesus talking to the crowds in John 6, telling them that you must eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, or you have no life in you. There's the glory of God. Right there. Do you see it? In the death that Jesus dies, he offers you glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He offers you himself. Yes, that baby born on Christmas morning. Yes, that one who did the miracles and spoke the parables. Yes, that one who was transfigured on the mountaintop. Yes, that one who died upon the cross, offering himself as a ransom for sin. There is the glory of God. Jesus, God's own Son, true God, true man, takes on himself the sins of all sinners, your sins, and pays the full price for them upon the tree. There is the glory of God, to exchange his righteousness for your sins and to bring this to you in your life. The glory of God is found here. That spring of water welling up to everlasting life. It's what John wants you to see. That glory is found here, in with and under simple bread and wine for you to eat and drink. It's what John wants you to see. That glory is found as Jesus breathes on you, that breath of forgiveness. It's what John wants you to see. That's why John writes the way he does. Did you catch it? John puts you there. And we have seen his glory. You have. You weren't there on Christmas morning. You were not there for the transfiguration or the death of Jesus. But you were there, being washed clean. You were there, receiving his body and blood. You're here as Jesus breathes forgiveness on you. You've seen his glory. And more than that, you've received it through word and sacrament. That's what this Christmas is all about. Not just Jesus being born, but God giving his glory to you through the death that Jesus would die. Jesus covers all your sins. He washes them away. He breathes upon you. He feeds you. This is what John wants you to see. The glory of God. Jesus, true God, true man, who comes to a sinner like you to forgive you, to strengthen your faith, to show you the glory of God. In his name, amen.